was a good effort. I liked it. Welcome back to Education 2.1, where we celebrate all things great in education and we try and highlight some of the wonderful things that our state schools are doing out there. It's absolutely fantastic to welcome to Education 2.1 here on Bridge FM, Humpybong State School. We have a collection of people here, and I'll do my best to try and get that right. We have Melinda, who's our PNC president over there, doing a wave. We have Catherine Waldron, who is the principal, not the prime minister, the principal of the of Humpybong State School. And we have Reid Mule, and Reid is the digital technologies. I call him the IT whiz down there at Humpybong. What Reid is doing down at Humpybong is, well, along with the management team, just transforming their school and embracing the STEM subjects and where that needs to lead to then into high school, into university, into careers. So we've brought Reid along just to do a quick overview of some of the great things. So Reid, we'll get you up to the mic first and we'll have a quick chat. And firstly, welcome.
Welcome. Good morning. Hi, Wayne.
Yeah, very good. I like that. Straight to the point. We're into an area of Reid. We're very excited. You'll be glad. We're going to be streaming some of our robotic stuff coming up here very soon. So from a technological point of view, 99 FM, cutting edge. So Reid, can you tell us a few things about that? You've been down at, how long have you been at Humpybong?
I've been there since 2008.
Oh, so quite, yeah, yes. Nearly the 10-year mark coming up. Long service, I guess, or retirement, whichever one comes first. But anyway, you've been doing some professional development conference at Humpybong State School coming up in July. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
We're holding a digital technology half-day conference on 25th July. Keynote on the day is being presented by Dr. Yoni Nazareth, research and teaching academic at the University of Queensland. He's also the co-founder and managing director of a company called One on Epsilon that deliver maths resources to STEM teachers.
Wow.
On the day, we're using iPads, so Bob Rogers has come out. He's a project officer with the department and is fairly nifty on iPads, so he's coming out for the afternoon. And I'll be looking at where different technologies are used across the curriculum and how and why, as well as presenting a workshop on Arduino sensors and electronics.
Excellent. That sounds, and that's 25th of July. And is that going to be open to anybody who'd like to come along and have a look?
Be open to state school teachers and high school teachers if they want to attend.
So they just get onto the contact Humpybong?
Yes.
Take them. Well, that's fantastic.
We'll have a thing out on the internet. Yep. Internet shortly around that.
Oh, that's good. And we're always happy to plug that.
So what age kids are getting into Arduino already?
How early? I'm doing up the year 5-6s. Some of the electronics beyond that's a little bit complex, and some of the thinking.
I mean, for the people that don't know about Arduino, it's a combination of software with electronics. So they're basically building something that's going to detect anything out there, sensors, and program it to actually do something with it.
Yeah,
which is quite interesting. It's a full, computer programming with exposed to the outside world. Basically, with their sensors.
We're talking about Arduinos, we're talking about embedded technology. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at where you actually program something to run for 25 years and then you embed it into a product to run.
Wow. So you're getting microcontroller. Grade 5 students doing this.
Oh, it is. It's fascinating.
I'm feeling depressed.
And to let you know, we're all pretty smart on this station except for me. Carlos is an electrical engineer as well, so he loves this stuff. Now, I know you did a QUT project last year. Catherine's here to talk about another QUT project very soon, but you did one last year. What led to this happening? Just explain that.
The original idea was we had a few girls were fiddling around with some little bits, which is a sort of electronics, magnetic electronics. And they were connecting those together, and two of the girls, one took one across one side of the room, one took one across the other, and they were testing the signal. And so what they were doing was manipulating a little potentiometer and making the LED change, essentially. And then we always go, well, okay, we can do these things, but how to use that in a real way? What's a big idea behind that that we could use this for? And one of the girls suggested we could use it for people with disabilities. So a person in a classroom with a disability could use a potentiometer to change the colour of the LEDs to signal whether they needed support or assistance.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that smart? And that came from the kids?
That came from the girls, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And anyway, I put their ideas together. We looked at it for about probably 3 or 4 months, talked about what we're going to do, how we'd do it, and what the best way of doing it was, and we came up with the idea of having a band. And then I sent their ideas to Autism Queensland, and they passed them on to QUT, and QUT took it up as a master's project.
Wow, brilliant.
Awesome.
Relationships working at its best, but all starting from young kids.
Coming from primary level.
You know, isn't that just amazing. Fantastic? Yeah, I just can't wait to see what these young kids develop for our future.
Mm.
Yeah, it will be fascinating. What is the focus of that research, Reid?
What they're focusing on, what they started focusing on, was using it with children who were autistic.
Mm-hmm.
Because quite often in a classroom, children who are autistic quite often will be disturbed by something, but you won't actually see that until maybe 2 or 3 hours later.
Right.
When they respond to it. So the behaviour and the cause are separated.
Yes.
So what the idea of this was that when the LED started to change colour because it had a stress sensor built in, heart rate, etc. They could see that the child was starting to get stressed, so then they could start to scan the room and see or attach a cause to the change in affect.
So instant onto it, yes.
Yeah, as opposed to 2 hours later not really knowing what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, wow, take my hat off. Hopefully there's some award that they can go in for that one. I'd be looking around to see where you can put in for some award recognition for that. That was fantastic. Now, we're going to be talking to, like I said, Dr. Damien Key down the track, but you've been involved heavily into getting technology into schools. Why use Arduinos in the teaching of digital technologies?
One of the things I find interesting about the use of electronics is the number of things that can and do go wrong. In that process, that's where a lot of resilience occurs. And I think the kids learn a lot about failing, and failure is not a stop, it's actually a start. And you go back and you start again, you work your way through it. So it builds up that resilience. The other thing I like about it is the amount of thinking involved in it,
yes.
Because there are so many things that can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of teachers sort of go, oh, I don't want to use that because things can go wrong. And I go, well, that's actually the point. You want things to go wrong because that's where the kids
are
learning.
It. Exactly.
You know, that's where they're going, well, this is it the code? Is it the wiring? Is it the...
Exactly, yeah.
Am I actually using the right measurements for the sensors? So there's all that thinking that goes into that. And so it gives you a really good opportunity, and the kids a really good opportunity to use something called computational thinking.
Yes.
To work their way through the problem.
And just unpack computational thinking. I know a little bit about it. My wife's just written a paper on systems thinking and computational thinking, so I've been excited to find out about that. But computational thinking, extremely important, very limited knowledge in the curriculum about it. They say teach it. I don't think they explain it too well. So over to you, Reid.
Okay. Computational thinking, I think, is something that should sit at the centre of the curriculum simply because it applies to literacy, it applies to maths, it applies to science, it applies to technology.
Mm.
And essentially what they're doing, it's a four-step four-step model, and initially you break the problem down, so you look at the problem, you decompose it into its parts, you look for common patterns between the problem you have and other problems, which is something you do in maths,
yes.
Which is something you do in English.
Exactly.
And then you look at ways of testing your assumptions and ways that you can present the data. You know, for example, when the girls did another project last year. They did one where they had to build a device that measured the turbidity of water, which is how dirty, how many particles in water. You can't actually observe it. To put that into context, if you can go out to a creek one day, measure the water, it's drinkable. You go out the next day, it's not. It's turbid because you've had rain or storm or whatever. But as part of that, they had to work out, well, how were they going to actually represent the data that they were getting from the device. And they initially thought they were going to put an LED on it and get a readout from the LED, but the problem was then language. Well, what if they don't understand English and speak another language?
Yes.
That's not going to work. So then we thought, the girls thought universal signal, red, green.
Yep.
So they just put a red and green light on top. So in that case, the simplest way of presenting the data was the best, was the most effective.
quite often is, isn't it? Oh, look, Reid, I think what you're doing down there is absolutely fantastic. I know the students will get such a benefit out of it. I'm hoping the parents really do take up what you're doing down at that school and the importance that you're making.